The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John chapter 21. I'm preaching today on no explanations, just an invitation. Sometimes God will not give you an explanation. And with all that's been happening, I had a brand new message that I had in my Bible, and I've been carrying it as I normally do 2 or 3 weeks. I try to stay ahead. I try to have 3 or 4 in the chamber. Amen. And I'm like the wind, wherever God wants me to go. But my heart began to remember this little message. And it's for some people listening to me today that are going through similar things like I've described. You may be in the trial of your life right now. Your family may be going through something that is almost indescribable. Your health may be failing you. You're so worried. Your finances may be in a crisis and it has your stomach in knots and you don't know what to do, where to turn. You may have a son, a daughter on drugs, alcohol, destroying their life. You don't know what to do. Look at this story. This is post-resurrection. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He appeared 7 times after he was crucified. On 7 different occasions over a span of 40 days to over 600 people in all, he showed himself alive with infallible proof. And this is one of the 7 times that Jesus appears. He cooked a breakfast for his disciples who had gone back to fishing. And verse 18 says, "Most assuredly, I say unto you." Now, if I had time, I would back up and tell you that he questions Simon Peter and he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" 3 times, and 3 times he says, "I love you, Lord." Then he says in verse 16, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And then in verse 18, "Most assuredly, I say to you," speaking to Simon Peter, this is Jesus' words, "when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you, will tie you up, and will carry you where you do not wish." Then he spoke, signifying by what death he, Simon Peter, would glorify God. He's prophesying to him about his death. Watch this. "And when he had spoken this, he said to him," everybody say these words big and bold, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, seeing who? Seeing John, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." When Jesus gives no explanation, just an invitation, follow me. It's after the resurrection. Jesus is meeting with 3 of his disciples on this appearance, as he often did with these 3, Peter, James, and John. And John being the disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't understand. I don't know. You can say what you want to say. The scripture is very clear. He often pulled these three aside from the other disciples. He often shared things and insights and teachings with them that he did not share with the others. And he asked Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, yes, I do. Then he said, then feed my sheep. Do what I put you on this earth to do. Take the word and feed the sheep. And he said, but when you grow old, they're going to tie your hands and they're going to lead you where you don't want to go down a path that you would never choose to go down. He would literally be crucified upside down. He would request to be crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. And Jesus said, when they lead you that way, you follow me. And in this young version of himself, he said, there's coming a day, you're young now, but you'll be old when this happens. And Peter said, when he saw standing in the same place the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was kind of had a little, you can hear a little kickback on this as he's saying, this is unfair. You're not treating me like you treat your favorite right there, the one that whom you love. What about him? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to die like that? What about him? And one of the sternest rebukes that you'll ever read in the scripture, Jesus whirled around and he said, what is it to you how I deal with him? I have a plan for your life and I have a plan for his life. And here's the key. He said, when you go down this path of following me, you will glorify me. Did you catch that? When you die, you will glorify me. It's not about you. Your life is not your own anymore. You surrendered to me. Now follow me. And if in that following, I lead you in a path that is not what you thought you would go, you just know that when you're doing that, did you read it in that verse that I read? He said, you will die a death that will glorify me. Why didn't that disciple get the same direction that I got, was what Simon Peter was asking. Anytime you get your eyes off of Jesus and you get your eyes on other people and what you're going through compared to what they're going through, you are missing the plan of God for your life. Equality cannot be transferred in the kingdom of God. You cannot say, well, God, if you love me and you love them, then you will bless us all the same. God says, I don't do that. I have a plan for them. I have a plan for you. All that live godly in Christ will suffer. They'll go through things. They'll go through trials. It rains on the just and the unjust, and nothing's going to change that. In this life, you will have tribulation. And just because their life looks perfect right now and yours doesn't, he says, don't you say, well, what about them? And why am I going through all of this? And I don't deserve it. And look at them, and everything is blessed and in order and perfect in their life. He has a plan for you. And it may not be as glorious as what it looks like he's doing in somebody else's life right now. And I just want to throw this in. Sometimes when you're going through stuff and you look at people and their life looks picture perfect, you don't know what's behind the curtain. You don't know what they're going through that is unspeakable. You don't know that their life could not somehow be 10 times worse than anything you're facing yourself. And that's why Jesus said, that is none of your business how that person's life is going. I want you to know that where you are right now, I am with you, and I want you to follow me. And wherever I lead you, if it's into the valley, if it's in the tears, if it's in the trial, if it's into suffering, I want you to trust me and follow me and quit doing this thing of what about him? What is that to you? Follow me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, you compare yourselves one to another, and in so doing, you are not wise. You are not supposed to get this thing and get bitter at God because he's treating you different, and it seems like he treats other people and everything they do is so beautiful and so successful and so wonderful, and everything goes wrong for you. Why do they have a dad and I didn't have a dad? Why did this happen to me and it didn't happen to them? Why couldn't I see that like they see that? And Jesus gives one of his most stern rebukes when he says, what is that to you? Don't you understand that I have a plan for your life that will bring glory to my name? It'll bring glory. You're called to feed the sheep. And what is that to you? Follow me. Where we are is his will for our lives right now. And if you're going through cancer treatment, I'm not saying that God put the cancer on you. We live in a fallen world. This world is not our home. My point to you is this. If God has allowed you, and all of us will suffer, all of us will go through sickness, all of us will go through things. Does that mean miracles are not real? Does that mean healing is not real? Yeah, no, it does not mean that. It means miracles are real. Healing is real. But at some point, we all go through challenges. And there's nothing evil about it. There's nothing wrong about it. And there's nothing that means God has forsaken us when we go through it. Where you are right now is the will of God for your life. If you're following him the best that you can, if you're following him and saying, Lord, I really am serious about loving you and doing your will, then right where you are right now is God's will, because he's going to get glory out of your infirmities, out of your suffering, out of your heartbreak, out of your pain, out of your tears. Even in trials and tribulations, even when life is not fair, well, why aren't they going through it? Take your eyes off of them and get them back on him. You can't see behind the curtain of anybody else. They've got their own situations. Man looks on the outward appearance. God sees our heart. What is that to you? You don't know what I'm doing in them, and you don't know what I'm doing in you. If I do all the right things, if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I fast, if I pray, if I love you and I worship you, why is this happening to me? You have to understand that the most godliest people in this book dealt with the greatest tragedies and problems that you could ever imagine. It is impossible to become the person that God wants you to become that brings glory to his name and bypass severe trials, severe valleys and situations that try you to the ultimate, to where you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If I lose everything, I'll still hold to God's unchanging hand. And the greatest level of faith is not a miracle. It's to say, I trust you, God, when I don't understand anything you're doing. Why am I going through this? I tell you, one of the greatest verses that you can memorize is Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Listen to this. The secret things belong to the Lord. There are some things that God will never show you. No explanation, just an invitation. Follow me. But God, why? Show me the secret behind this. Show me the purpose why the car wreck killed my family member. Show me the reason why you allowed this to happen. Show me this. Show me that. All of that, Job asked 181 questions. Why? And God never gave him an explanation. He said, follow me. I know what I'm doing. And his story brings comfort to all of us. God was glorified. When you understand that and you understand that we do this comparing thing, look at that family and look at my family. Well, maybe your family's got so much destiny attached to them that demons give special attention because there's faith in your seed for generations that can cast out devils. Oh, come on. I believe that sometimes the enemy does everything he can to destroy your family because he senses that if he doesn't, God's going to use them. And so that's when you just make up your mind. I can't get my eyes on them. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. I know what he promised me. I know what he showed me. And I will live to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I wrote this sermon, Lord, I guess 20 years ago, and I was a young preacher then, and I was frustrated. I remember the weekend, and when I read this part of my notes, it was funny. My notes are a mess, but they really speak to me. I remember moments when the voice of the Lord, not in an audible way, but just, I don't know how to describe it, just when the enlightenment comes, it's there. And I wrote down these words, how can I be the pastor? I wrote up under, can you help me here? I wrote this, did you call the wrong one? I was having a bad day. It was one of those Saturdays. God was not speaking. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was doing. Stuff was going on in the church. And I just whipped myself, beat myself up and say how unqualified. I wish I could be like him and I wish I could be like them. And look how you're blessing them. We're fighting demons and devils and struggles. And I tell you, the Lord came in that office and he told me to write these words down, and I did. I chose you because you are you. I didn't choose that one for the particular way that I would lead you. And since you're following me and I led you this way, I chose you because you're you. I chose you to go through what you're going through. You're following me through it. You're not in it alone. I work in the dark just as easy. You know, he didn't create the sun until the fourth day. God works in the darkness just as easily as he does the daylight. You say, I can't see. It's so dark. I can't see. Just take him by the hand. He can work the night shift and he's moving. And if he steps into the darkness and you're following him, the darkness is God's will for your life right now. So praise him anyhow and say, Lord, I will hold to your unchanging hand. Hallelujah. I chose you because you are you. Now watch this. Oh, but if you got faith and you really love the Lord, you're going to live that blessed life all the time. Well, it's true. I do live the blessed life. Even when I don't look like it, I'm blessed. But watch this, the Heroes of Faith chapter. Throw it up for me. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the harlot perished not with them that believe not. She received the spies and she got a miracle for her family. By faith, Samson and Jephthah did amazing things, who through faith subdued kingdoms and obtained promises, and they stopped the mouths of lions. Yes, then quenched the fire and ran the devil out of their land. And look at it. It's just victory after victory. Keep going. Same chapter. These women saw their dead raised to life again and all kinds of, and that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others. Everybody say, and others. Oh, same chapter, same group of believers. Some are having a winning season. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Where was God? Well, Lord, why are they being so blessed and victorious? And others. Bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sewn asunder, cut in two, tempted, tortured, slain with swords, wandered like destitute, homeless, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They died prematurely. Anytime somebody dies prematurely in the will of God, it's God's statement of saying the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts, pitiful, having obtained a good report through faith, not received the promise. Finish it. But God heavens provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It takes both seasons in your life, is what that is saying. And one didn't have more faith than the other. They all had faith, and some of them had faith to follow him through the suffering, through the loss, through the heartache, through the tears, through the valley. And others had faith, and in that season, for God to be glorified in those stories that they were in, to build our faith generations later, he let them win victories. But in all cases, the deal is right there. You just keep following him. And you don't look over at other people and say, but what about them? I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of how the Bible said that in the book of Acts chapter 12, Simon Peter and James were in the same prison. And James is taken from the prison cell that Simon Peter is in and walked out to the execution block and beheaded. That was what happened to him. And Simon Peter is to be executed in the morning when the sun comes up. But that night, God sent an angel to the same cell that one man had gone to his death, but it glorified God. He had served his purpose, and God said, I'll be glorified. And here's a man in the same cell, less than 24 hours later, God sends an angel, opens the door, chains fall off, he walks out, goes to Rhoda's house, knocks on the door, they're having a prayer meeting for him, and he says, I'm free. And everybody's shouting and screaming, except James' family. What are his kids doing? Why didn't God save our daddy? Why didn't God do a miracle for us? He did it for him. They were in the same condition. He got it. He got his miracle. We got death and devastation. Where's God? What? You can't play that game. You can't do that. Faith says, I'll follow you if it's to death or if it's to a miracle. My faith is the same. I will follow you. Elijah never died. A fiery chariot came down and picked Elijah up and took him to heaven. Elisha, his protege, who had a double portion, are y'all with me? Who had a double portion, the Bible said, was sick unto death, 2 Kings 13, in his deathbed. And he would sick unto death from the death that he would die, from the sickness that he would die. He was sick and performed miracles like raising the dead for others and multiplying bread and making an axe head swim. But he died in a bed of sickness. Follow me. Get your eyes off Elijah. I'm not going to do what I did for him. I have a plan for him. I have a plan for you. Because I'm doing a type here. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those who alive and remain. I'm showing the church my beautiful pictures and types. Moses, you're going to go on that mountain, and you're going to look across and say, I wish I could go to the promised land, but I can't let them think that the law and works can get you in, and you represent law, so you just stay here, and I'm going to bury your bones in this mountain, but don't think that I'm finished with you, because when it's all at the end, I left everything out for everybody. And by the way, I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to put you and let you float down on a cloud, the Mount of Transfiguration, and put your feet in the promised land and talk to the Messiah and tell him, oh, hallelujah, and tell him the plan to save the world. And Paul's going around healing people, healing cripples, raising a dead man who fell three stories out of a church when he fell asleep at midnight and broke his neck, and he raised him up from the dead. But Paul, the Bible said, I have this infirmity in the flesh. I have a thorn. The literal word is stake or spike. Oh, and he's healing people, and cripples are being, and he's got this thing going on in his side that is so painful that he's begging God to remove it. And three times God said, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for you. Follow me. If you follow me suffering, follow me suffering. If you follow me going through chemo, follow me. If you follow me when something tragic happens to your family, that's when people need to know that what we have doesn't just work when the sun is shining. It works when all hell is breaking loose. And even at the grave, it works. It gives hope. It gives life. It gives peace. So, the secret things belong to the Lord. Sometimes an unseen, loving purpose is taking place that we're not aware of. God may hurt you, but he will never harm you. All right, let me put it to you like this. When Courtney was a child, I used to whip her, but I never whipped her to hurt her. I whipped her to help her. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. The Lord will hurt you, but he won't harm you. I never was trying to harm her by whipping her. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. Charisse would make me do it. And they had much rather me whip them than Charisse, I guarantee you. That's a fact. Sometimes I'd get them in the back room and say, scream, scream. But how many of you parents, you really whipped your children to hurt them? No, you didn't. You don't whip your baby that you love to hurt them. Maybe a few times. Amen. Do you believe that you're a better parent than he is? I read this story. I close with it. It's a true story. A man went to a garage sale and he saw in the backyard. They had a lot of stuff and weeds had grown up over an old shell of a motorcycle. It was rusty. It was rust eaten. The wheels were basically gone from it. Just rims. And he walked over and he looked at it. And he recognized the make of the motorcycle. He thought, well, you know, I love to fix things. And it's got the shell of what I could use. So he offered him $300 for it. And he bought it for $300. The guy let him have it gladly. He took it and he got to working on it, and it was rust everywhere, especially on the gas tank. And he looked up under it, and he did get to a place where he could read some kind of little inscription and he could see the serial number. And so he called an expert in this kind of motorcycle. It's an old bike. And he said, I want you to tell me where this bike came from. If you've got any information, I've got the serial numbers. And this man did this kind of thing. He searched the serial number and he said, by the way, there's a little phrase called the king that someone inscripted on right above the serial number, the king. And the man said, I'll call you back. And he called him back. He said, I want to tell you this, and I want you to know that I'm not going to offer you more, but I'll give you $100,000 for that motorcycle and the condition that it's in if you'll just give it to me. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, but why are you doing that? He said, well, that motorcycle was stolen, and it belonged to Elvis Presley, the king. He said, well, then I'm definitely not going to sell it to you for $100,000. Listen to this. Within 24 hours, he got a phone call from Jay Leno, the Tonight Show host, who loves bikes and cars. He said, I have been searching for that motorcycle for so long, you have no idea the research I've done. I will offer you today $500,000 for that rusty old motorcycle. And he said, Lord, I receive. He didn't say that, but that's what I would have said. The value of that bike was in who it belonged to. You belong to the king. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how dark it is. What's it to you if other people are having a good season right now? If you're in the thick of darkness, follow me, Jesus says. I'm not going to give you explanations. The secret things belong to the Lord. But I'll give you an invitation. Follow me, and I'll get glory. Isn't that the greatest purpose for our life? To glorify God, to say at the end of my life, not that I had the longest life. I don't want the longest life. I want to live as long as I can glorify God. And when I can't glorify God, I'm ready to go. That's what I exist for, is to glorify God. You belong to the King. You are exactly who you are And that's exactly who God wants you to be. Going through what you're going through, get your eyes off of them and get them on Him. And if He says, follow me, we're going to step into this darkness. And you're not going to hear my voice, and it's going to get real loud and real crazy, but just hold my hand. I won't let you go. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'll be glorified. I'll be glorified. I thought about Jonathan, and during the production, he was up here singing those beautiful songs that he wrote, one of them. And his sister, they rolled her in, JoJo, who was having her sixth child and had major complications. And they didn't think she would live, but she is crippled up in a wheelchair, her arms folded, her legs feeble, and she can't speak. She can't. And I watched his dad back there after the production. I had made an arrangement right over here to make it easy for her to meet over there with some anointing oil and Jonathan and some of the family. And we anointed JoJo with oil. And I watched your father. I watched him, and the thought hit me. He's smiling. He has faith still after, you don't understand, the months and months and months and the care. That, you know, it's one thing to hear a story. Then there's the daily care. There's the unending process. It's the daily grind of a child on drugs, the daily grind of someone cheating on you, the daily grind of some kind of pain that is cancer, and the fear of it that just is the dread of it. It's just hanging over you. But Jesus says to you, you're my property. Follow me. And I'll keep getting glory when you smile. I'll keep getting glory when people see you walking through it. And one of these days, I promise you, I'll make it everything. When our first step, the Bible said we'll call these things light afflictions. Are not to be compared. These light afflictions, Paul said, are not to be compared to the glory. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard where we're going. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suicide, no more death, no more families broken, no more. So if you're here and you're listening to me at any of our campuses and you are feeling the heaviness of life right now, you're walking in the darkness, you're not alone. You belong to the King. His name is Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet at every campus, wherever you are. And I got a different altar call this morning. I want every person who is going through the trial of a lifetime, so to speak, who is going through something that is so heavy, and you need God's help and God's grace, and He's saying to you, come follow me. I want you to get to a place that you can say, I trust you and I will follow you. And I believe God's going to give you the grace. He said, my grace will be sufficient for you. And if that's you and you know it, I don't care if you're a teenager, if you're senior, if you're middle age, business situation, whatever it is, get out of your seat and come stand representing that particular situation. And we're going to anoint you with oil this morning and pray over you and believe for miracles in this house and breakthroughs. And what God, you know, sometimes God's not in a hurry. That's the thing that frustrates us. But He lives in eternity, not time. And God doesn't wear a wristwatch like some of you that are running for the door. God doesn't wear a wristwatch. He says, you're on my time, and until I manifest what is secret, I want you to trust me and I want you to follow me. Follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Say, Lord, I'll follow you. That's it. Come on. This is powerful. This is important. This is holy. This is an anointed moment. I want our pastors to get some of this oil, and I want you to lay hands. I want our altar teams to lay hands. I'm going to lay my hands on every person I can get to this morning. We're not going to be in a hurry, and if you need to slip out, you can slip out, but we're going to minister to people. I've learned that when I go through things, turn it into ministry. I've learned when the enemy attacks me and my family, turn it into ministry. I've learned that when I grieve, turn it into ministry. I've learned when I've lost loved ones, turn it into ministry to somebody else. When I'm going through problems in my marriage and family, turn it into ministry. Whatever the enemy brings against us, God can use it for his good. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. So lift those hands and say, here I am, Lord, I will follow you. Sing it, church.
This is how I fight my battles.
you to do something. I have experienced this week the love and the support and the strength of the body of Christ, my brothers, my sisters. And I want you to feel that today if you're going through something. So just reach over and lay your hand on somebody. And with compassion, you know, Jesus would move with compassion. Something happens when you tap into compassion for hurting people. When it makes you tender, Oscar, when God allows you to go through what you've just been through, it makes you tender to broken people. So while I'm in this season, I just feel like the hand of the Lord is ready to heal broken hearts, minister to people, and even heal cancer and diseases. Nothing is too hard for our God. So just begin to pray. Now turn the volume up on your voice. Turn it up about three notches and call on the Lord for somebody around you right now. Begin to pray. Begin to pray out loud. If you're not asking, you're not praying. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. So right now, ask God to touch him. Come on, I want to hear you pray. Begin to intercede. Just let the Lord speak through you a prayer for somebody around you that's hurting. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the key of G. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
And he leads me on. I will follow.
Easy, easy. I'll go with him.
I'll go with him.
With him.
With him.
All the way. Somebody just raise your hands if you're in a season you don't even understand what's going on. Just say, I'll follow. I'd never choose this path, but I'll follow. Because I trust you. The great shepherd leads me, I will follow where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, I'll follow. I'll go with him. With him. A prayer, lift your hand and say, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Not just when things are sunshine, but where he leads me. He's my master. He's my savior. He's my Lord. Whatever his will bring glory to his name, that's what I live for. I'll go with him. Oh, one more time. Sing it, everybody. Where he leads me, I will. Praise his name. Praise his name. Just hold your hands up just another moment. Bill, just play it one more time. Close your eyes and just say, Jesus, I mean it. I trust you. I worship you. Praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise your mighty name. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Just play it one more time. Just play it one more time. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. He's in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I will. Blessed Jesus. Touch your people, Lord. Touch these families. When I got in last night, I sat down at the piano. Nobody was there but me, which is rare. And I started playing this song because it's what Jacob said in the darkest night of his life. He said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. Listen, and I knew it not. You look back on the darkest days of your life and you'll see how God was there, but you didn't feel him, you didn't hear him, you didn't see him. But you'll look back on that one day if you hold to it, if you follow him, and you'll say, surely the presence of the Lord was in that dark place, and I knew it not. Key of L for G. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on his face. Surely presence of the Lord is in this place. Raise your hands and sing it. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. Wings, I see glory on each. Woo! He's in this place. Worship the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord. Oh, surely, oh, the presence of the Lord. He's in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. Oh, I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. We're gonna sing it one more time. Surely the presence of the Lord, he's
in this place. Oh, surely, if I'm with it, that's all I need. Oh, the Lord is in. Maybe you're in a dark place watching online, but I tell you, He's there in the prison wherever you're watching this. Oh, I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in.
I want us to pray two different. I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. I felt impressed to do that. I did it in the first service. I want to make sure I do it in this one. And secondly, I want to bless you with the Numbers 12, I believe. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Ready? Maybe they can get it up. Matthew 6. Ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now raise your hand. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Follow him. Follow him. Now, I don't want you to leave here knowing or worrying about your future. You're following him. You belong to the King. That's the message. And whatever you're going through, he's with you. And he's going to get glory out of it. He's going to get glory out of it. In Jesus' mighty name. Tell somebody you're blessed. Your family's blessed. Your future's blessed. Your present is blessed. You're in God's will right now. God's being glorified right now. Hallelujah. God's getting glory right now. Not when things get better, right where you are is God's will right now. So relax and enjoy. God's teaching you. He's more concerned about your character than your comfort. Sometimes he'll just let you go through some stuff. But it's going to be all right. He's building you for eternity. We'll rule and reign with him. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.